Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Well, hello. I am fresh off a plane, so I feel like I always complain about being tired, but today is an extra special type of tired because I've just done a very, very long flight with Alf, but more on that later. I basically have no guest today because I feel like so much has happened since Christmas. So the last episode I did was with Tommy. And by the way, thank you everyone for all the lovely messages around it, because when I say that I had to like emotionally blackmail Tommy to do that, he was so nervous. And he was also really nervous about the response it would get. I feel like I take for granted that people give feedback on what I do and what I share every single day. But Tommy was like, I feel like you should have given me the questions in advance and I could have prepared. But anyway, it was all good and you've all been really nice. So who knows, maybe he will feature on another podcast episode again. I feel like it was good even for our relationship just to like have a little check-in. Maybe we all need to do that. Just do a little check-in, get people to ask questions and then you ask them as if you don't know what they are. But anyway, so we recorded that just before Christmas, and what a Christmas and New Year. I don't know how you guys found Christmas and New Year, but for us, I feel like it's been 10 years since that Christmas time. We were all so worried about COVID and whether or not we'd be able to have family Christmases, were there going to be restrictions, were there not going to be restrictions, was everyone going to be able to get together? I feel like lateral flow tests were like the advent calendar of 2021. Every single day we were like, is it positive, is it negative? Oh, it's negative, good, family can still come. We had my mum, my dad, my brother, my sister, her husband, her son, my nephew Jasper, my gran and my great uncle all coming for Christmas. And miraculously, we all remained COVID free. And then, dun, 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 my dad ended up in A&E on Christmas Eve because he started getting blurred vision. We called 111. By the way, my dad is like your typical northern man that, I mean, his arm could fall off and he'd not complain. So the fact that he was voicing concern over it, we were like, right, get on the phone to 111. So he had to go in to the delightful Essex hospitals on Christmas Eve and then had to go back for more tests on Christmas Day. And then Alfie's first Christmas, we've all been so excited. And I woke up and from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. he was throwing up about five times an hour. It was honestly horrible. So we ate Christmas dinner, or lunch rather, that's my northern coming out. We ate Christmas lunch really early so that my dad could get to his doctor's appointment. And by the time he came back, Alf and I had to call 111 because of his sickness bug. His nappy was dry, which we were told means that they could be suffering from dehydration. And so it got to 7 p.m. and we were like, right, call 111 again. And we were sent off to A&E and I had to spend Christmas evening in hospital with Alf. I thought they would honestly think that I was being like overly cautious. It's hard, isn't it, with a baby? Because I don't know about you guys, but I never ever want to like pester the NHS because we all hear about people wasting their time. And I'm always like, oh, sorry to waste your time, but I just don't know if my baby's okay or not. And even when I went into A&E, I was like, I'm so sorry to bother you on Christmas Day. And they were like, no, 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 he's really ill and needs fluids. So I had to watch him get a drip. He had to have a little x-ray. And then I just slept next to him all night, which was horrible, but best place I could have been with him. So that was fine. But part of me was like, I had all these dreams of playing board games and it would have been our first like family Christmas. And obviously my sister and my nephew were waiting at home. And you know, when you like really envision, that's my problem. I think I like have this fan, I really fantasize scenarios. And then they, when they don't happen, I'm like, no. But the main thing is, Alf was all right. We got home on Boxing Day. We still had two more days with the family. And then, dun, 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 I got the sickness bug. Can you believe it? So from Boxing Day to the 28th, I was bedbound, being sick every hour or so. And just 12 hours later, Tommy got it as well. So I've honestly, I wouldn't say I've never been so ill in my life, but I've never felt so ill so quickly in my life. It just came over like out of nowhere. Bear in mind, by this time, Al's feeling better. Wow, it's hard to parent. It's basically hard to have children when you're sick. And I feel like that's the bit of parenting that's really hard. I mean, a lot of it's hard, but do you know what I mean? Like, you're like, can someone come and take this kid away? Oh, it's mine. I am responsible for it. So that was a really hard couple of days. And amazingly, my sister, Angus and Jasper agreed to stay to look after Alf. Otherwise, I honestly don't know what we would have done. Like, there was a really bleak moment when I went to go be sick and Tommy ran in to be sick and we were literally sick together. And that's a bit grim. You probably don't want to hear about that. So I did something. I'm always very spontaneous when I feel like, oh, well, that was rubbish. So I booked a really last minute holiday. The only difference being when I used to do it, it was usually because I'd got dumped or ghosted or, you know, some part of my tragic dating life back in the day, you know, when you're like, catch flights, not feelings. Whereas with motherhood, it doesn't work like that because you catch a flight, but you still have to be a mother. So I didn't really like quite vouch for that. So at the beginning, I was a bit like, oh no, is this going to be a nightmare? Because what I've omitted from this Christmas drama is that Alf started really biting me on the 23rd of December. Notice how I know the date because it was so traumatic, this biting saga. So he's kind of bitten in the past. By the way, I'm talking about biting the boob, biting the nipple, so biting whilst breastfeeding. So he's done it a little bit in the past and I'm not really reacted and we've ridden through it. But this, it was like, it felt malicious. Obviously, I know it wasn't malicious because he's like a beautiful little now 1 year old baby, but it felt malicious. Like sometimes he wasn't even feeding. He was like crying for the boob and then he would bite and then he would tear. And it was honestly, on top of being sick, it was a lot. So when we got on the plane, he carried on doing it. So my tip that I was given for flying is that you breastfeed on takeoff and landing or bottle feed, whatever you do. Because it helps stop their ears pop. So I was like, yeah, I'm ready for this. We take off biting. And by this point, by the way, I had bite marks, like actual war wounds. So breastfeeding became something that was like so stressful. I honestly felt like I may as well have gone and swam with some piranhas. That's how I felt putting my boob in his mouth. I was like, I kept putting it in and taking it out before he closed his mouth. And Tom was like, you're teasing him. I was like, I'm not. I'm absolutely terrified. So at the beginning, I was like, have I made this terrible spontaneous mistake of booking a holiday? But I'm glad that we did it in hindsight. So I was looking for like where I could find like flights, last minute deals, direct flights, because that's another thing. A lot of places, they were indirect. And I managed to find flights to Mauritius. And amazingly, because I have companion vouchers to use with the Amex BA card, I think it's a BA card, but anyway, had these companion vouchers. We managed to get a really good deal on flights. So we just went for it. And at the beginning, we got there actually on New Year's Eve, which is so nice because that's actually mine and Tom's 2 year anniversary. I was going to say 3 years, but it's the third New Year that we spent together. So I think I'm confusing myself with the maths here. So we managed to get in just for like 6 p.m. on New Year's Eve. We did New Year. There were fireworks. It was so lovely. But the biting. So, oh my God, I don't know if any of you have experienced breastfeeding and biting, or maybe it's something you will experience, but just to reassure anyone, apparently not all babies do it. So I pray for you that your baby never does it. But all the expert advice, because I did look into it, said don't react. But I mean, I like to think I've got quite a high pain threshold. How do you not react when a baby clamps down with their teeth? I don't know. If you can do that and not react, you're a bigger person than I am. I was like so dramatic, and it was causing me to like really hate who I was as a mum, because I started to really shout at Alf because it was so sore and I was like so on edge. And then he'd get really upset, and then Tommy and I started arguing because he'd get annoyed with me for shouting at Alf. And it was just this horrible, horrible thing. And it really made me think, like, what kind of message is it to tell someone not to react to pain? And also, what kind of boundaries are you setting? Yes, babies are too young to really understand, but they do say that you start with them as you mean to go on. And I was thinking, like, what am I teaching him that it's just okay to bite me and there be no consequences? So anyway, I came to the decision about 2 or 3 days into the holiday that it was time to stop breastfeeding. And I mean, he was almost a year old. I was actually really emotional about it. Every time I thought about it, it made me want to cry. And for context, as a lot of you will know, but for anyone who doesn't know, Alf and I have co-slept pretty much since the beginning. It was never, ever my intention. I had a lovely snoo, which I was so excited to use. But I think just a combination of him being an absolutely massive baby, he was born 9.5 pounds, and the injuries that I had from childbirth, it was just too hard to like keep picking him up and putting him down. And I don't know, I just started doing it, to be honest. Like, it just kind of felt right, and I never stopped, even though I said, when we move house, he's going to be in the cot. When he gets to 6 months, he's going to be in the cot. And it just never happened. So because of co-sleeping, I'd kind of let him use my boob as a dummy, which sounds a bit weird, I guess, but it was just like a comfort. It became a comfort thing because a lot of the time he'd feed in the night and I'd fall asleep because he'd be next to me. So it kind of just became a habit. So I was like, how on earth do I stop breastfeeding? But we had this really bad night in Mauritius where it all came to a head. And he wasn't even trying to feed, he was just biting. And so then I'd shout at him and he would be hysterical and he'd like cry. I'd be hugging him, Tommy would be hugging him, we'd take him for a walk, like we did everything to show him love, and he just kept crying. So then I was like, right, let me try again, give him the boob. He'd bite, same thing again. So I was like, he's not even actually feeding, he's just biting. And by the way, just to preface this, we'd given Calpol and ibuprofen and teething gel. So even though I strongly suspect it was teeth, well, it was teeth, because he's actually grown 3 teeth since he's been on holiday, 2 at the top next to the top 2 and 1 at the bottom next to the bottom 2, if that makes sense. So bless him, he was in a lot of pain and he was obviously teething, but my nipples were not the teething toy that I wanted him to use. So this horrible, horrible night, I was in tears, Alf was in tears. I was just like, do you know what? Enough's enough. I've tried for 2 weeks. It's not becoming it's not an enjoyable experience anymore. I was dreading it. I've given it a good shot. He's nearly won. Like, it's time to stop now, enough, because I want to be able to like be a good mum and hug him and cuddle him when he's going through teething pain, not shout at him for biting me. And he just wasn't getting it. I thought after 2 weeks of saying, Alfie, no biting, he might be like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't bite her. But he's too young to understand. He didn't get it at all. So we decided to stop cold turkey breastfeeding. Thank the Lord that I'd brought my pump away. So that's what we're kind of still doing. But that first night of no boob, I was absolutely terrified. He started crying, cuddled him. Do you know what? It was just like so horrible. I think I put it up on Instagram on my stories of like me in absolute floods of tears, which I'll be honest, it is always weird to like document yourself crying. Like when you're crying, you're like, I know, I'll document this now. But I wanted to remind myself of like the emotions and the tough parts that you go through, because I don't know, maybe I'm weird. Like, what do you guys think? Is it weird to take a picture of yourself crying? Maybe it is. But I just wanted to like remember the emotions and also show that it's not all like, it's just not all rainbows. And I know like, obviously mums know that, but I feel like with breastfeeding, you only really, it's kind of like almost like seen as like, oh, she's attention seeking, or she's just doing like, she's showing off or something like that. But I was like, oh my God, nobody tells you how to stop. And no one tells you the emotions that are like involved in it. So yeah, it was a lot that night. I had to keep getting up and just like, I was literally crying on the bathroom floor. Like, I feel like the only time I've cried like that is when I got cheated on by my first ever boyfriend. I've honestly not felt emotion like it for so long. But the following night, weirdly, it was actually fine. Like, he cried a little bit to get to sleep, but obviously we were cuddling him. And he's never taken a bottle and he's never taken a dummy. And by the way, not through lack of trying, he just never really like did it. And even though we still try with a dummy, he kind of like bites it a bit and spits it out. He's never really got the sucking part. So he loves these little Tommy Tippy cups. So I just put like pump breast milk with the LV and put it into the green Tommy Tippy cup. So that's now his milk cup, and his blue cup and red cup are his water cup. And that's actually worked really well because he now knows which one the milk is. But I just give him that at night. And even when he woke up throughout the night, like normally I would just like shove a boob in his mouth. This time I give him the milk and usually he'll go back to sleep and he like cuddles up to me. Or if he doesn't want the milk, then I give him the water and then that'll usually do it. And for anyone that is like thinking or worrying about stopping breastfeeding, it was hell that one day, but like, it's been surprisingly easier than I thought to go through such a big transition. I actually feel really good about it because a lot of people warned me that you can get something called PWD, post-weaning depression. And obviously I've spoken a lot about my mental health in this podcast and like how, I don't know whether it's postnatal depression, lockdown depression, just life change depression or what, but as you know, I have been on a journey. And so when people start saying, by the way, just let you know, when you stop breastfeeding, your hormones really drop, I was like, Christ, can't, like, could I get any lower? And actually, do you know what? I feel like the cloud has lifted. And yes, I'm also very conscious that I was on holiday. So let's be honest, like, it's very easy to be happy in the sunshine. But I feel like I was ready. And I think because I really tried for those 2 weeks and I saw no improvement and it was becoming something that was really hellish. And I think a lot of my reluctance to stop was because I worried about Alf and I didn't want Alf to be upset, but it got to a point where he was upset anyway. And now he's still co-sleeping. Although we are thinking of like, now that we've done the hard bit of getting him off the boob, that maybe it is time to start the transition into the cot. But I think, to be honest, he's still been cuddling me at night, and it's actually really nice to know that he wants mummy for like comfort and not just mummy because she's got a pair of boobs. So for anyone worried about like the bond, I still feel it, but also I feel it even more because I feel like it's for me and not just my boobies.
Welcome to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, a brand new podcast bringing together people's real ghost, extraterrestrial and paranormal stories, as well as getting some inside details from those who study the supernatural. I'll be listening through your paranormal stories every week and try to understand them, as well as chatting about my own encounters with an occasional paranormal investigator too. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Acast. Just search for Paranormal Activity with Yvette Fielding.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And I also just want to say thank you to everyone who reached out to me on Instagram with like encouragement and support and advice, because it was all very, very much appreciated on those two very, very, very difficult days. And like I said, to anyone worried about stopping, hopefully this helps you, give you the confidence to like do what you feel is right, because my intuition did say like time to stop. And I was right, because he seems to be sleeping better than ever. Again, he had a swimming pool and the sunshine, so let's see now that we're back home. He's also going to be slightly jet-lagged because we're 4 hours behind in England, so let's see how the next few nights go. And because I stopped breastfeeding, it also means now that like Tommy and I can share the load a little bit more. So I actually feel a lot better, which is also why I wanted to kind of do this podcast alone today, because I feel like there's so much has happened that set like seems so huge. Now when I talk about it back, I'm almost like, oh, it's not a big deal, but it did all feel like such a big deal at the time. And I feel like I'm feeling good. At one point on holiday, I was like, oh, maybe we should have another baby. And now I'm back, I'm like, absolutely not. So yeah, we'll see how that one goes. But I'm just really happy to feel like I've got a bit more freedom, and I'm really proud of myself to get to the point that I did, and also proud of myself to make the decision that I did. Yeah, let's see how it is now I'm back. I'm excited to like keep sharing the journey. But another major milestone is Alf is now 1 year old. So we celebrated on the 9th of Jan just a couple of days ago. And do you know what, everyone says, oh, it's really emotional when they turn one, but I'll be really honest, maybe this is like the difference in my mood as well, but I was just really excited. I feel like I'm almost like letting go of that baby chapter, which of course it's beautiful. And when you look back, I did like a little video montage for anyone that doesn't follow me on Instagram. I did like a little reel just like showing the year, and it is emotional and it's beautiful. And there's all these like exciting milestones, but it also took a lot out of me, like I've talked about a lot. And I actually feel like now the cloud is lifting, and I'm like, yeah, I got through it. Tommy and I got through it as new parents in a new relationship. Like, we did it. And yes, there are challenges ahead. And I know loads of you will be thinking like, mwahaha, you think you got through it. Wait until the terrible twos, wait until the toddler years. And yes, I know, I'm not saying that I'm going to be happy forever. None of us are happy forever, are we? We are all going to go through ups and downs. And I know that, but I just feel like we did it. He's a bit more independent. He can play on his own for a bit longer. I feel like I'm just getting a little bit of my life back, which, yeah. So I felt like I was really happy for him to be one. Like, it was just really nice. Whereas I feel like at 9 months, it was a bit like, oh my God, he's been out of me for longer than he's been in me, which sounds like a really weird thing to say. But I was like, my baby is now like belongs to the world more than he belongs to me. Whereas now, yeah, it was just really nice. We obviously celebrated in Mauritius. Alfie loves monkeys, and we managed to see a monkey in the wild. He always does the little monkey voice. He goes like, ooh, ooh, ah, ah. So yeah, he got to see a real life monkey. We went on this little tour of the island, and I mean, let's be honest, it was for us, not for him. He saw the monkey and loved it. He saw the stray dogs, loved them as well. Oh, by the way, is it weird not to get him a birthday present and a Christmas present? because Tommy and I were like, not at loggerheads, I mean, it wasn't that deep, but he was like, no, we need to get him something. And I was like, no, we don't, he won't remember. What is better, what is a greater gift than 16 years free rent? I would love that. I would absolutely love to be given that as a gift right now. I was like, he's going to get free rent for the next 16 years. Like, what a gift. Originally I said 18 years, and I was like, actually, if he turns out to be a little shit as a teenager, maybe I'm going to put the final 2 years on like a conditional contract to good behaviour. But yeah, Tommy was like, no, we need to get him something. But actually, we got home, and people are just so generous when you have a baby, aren't they? It's weird. I feel like when I bought a house on my own, no one really gave a shit. When I got job promotions, or, you know, went to Downing Street, got invited by Theresa May to Downing Street, little brag there, for International Women's Day, no one really gave a shit. Get pregnant, God, people go nuts. I feel like I'm obviously not married, sacrilegious, but I feel like weddings and babies, people live for it, don't they? And it's amazing. I mean, I wish people celebrated other things, but it's amazing because people are so kind and so lovely, and everyone's been like so generous for Alf for his birthday. So it made me pleased that we didn't get him a gift, because he's already got a lot. I'm now thinking, like, yeah, why don't we celebrate more? I feel like I'm going to start making sure I celebrate other occasions more. I did on my Instagram a packing highlight, by the way, for anyone who is thinking of going away with a baby. Everything that you will need. I mean, I don't want to say I'm an expert, but I've done it twice now, and I feel like I kind of nailed it this time. I've put a highlight, so if you go onto my profile on at Ashley Louise James, and everything that I packed is there. So hopefully it is useful if you are planning on going away. And miraculously, it was a 12-hour flight home, and Alf slept for 10 hours of it on me. He didn't not go in the bassinet. That's another thing that we need to work on, with the whole, like, maybe once he starts sleeping in the cot, he'll start sleeping off me. But anyway, it was fine. I just put the hand luggage down in front of me and kind of put my legs out, and then I slept on him. And I know that this is not probably the most obvious tip that I'll ever give, but I took an eye mask. Who knew those were so good for sleeping? I've been missing out. I slept pretty much 10 hours. Like, we had a couple of wake-ups, but he went straight back to sleep. So I actually feel pretty fresh. Maybe the future plan is just to stay on a plane. There, that white noise. But anyway, if you are thinking of going on holiday, hopefully that's really useful. And if you have any particular questions about the holiday, please feel free to ask them in, whether that's on social media, whether that's on WhatsApp. Did you know that you can WhatsApp us for the podcast? I don't know if we've actually had any WhatsApps yet, but I would love to get a voice message. You could do it. It's free. And the number is 075-999-27537. Weird to have three nines in a number, isn't it? But yeah. And obviously, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star review if you want to, and a rating. It helps others to find us. Do you know what? It does feel really weird doing it without a guest today. I feel like I've just been like talking to myself, talking into the abyss for the whole episode. So I hope that's not just really boring and you're like, oh my gosh, Ashley just hasn't shut up. But I'm here, I'm jet lagged, and I just wanted to give you an update. But I do have some really good guests lined up. So yeah, hopefully now that I am, I'm not going to say through the harder times in motherhood, because as I know that you will all be thinking, it's all ahead, but I feel happier given how chaotic the biting and the hospital and all of that has been. I do feel like this is a fresh start. Maybe this is like some of that new year, new you bullshit, and actually by February I'll be like, nope, still miserable. But I have been going through all the lovely messages, and I thought I'd read this one this week from Danielle, who got in touch on the email, which is askmumsthewordpod@gmail.com. She said, "Hi, Ashley, I've just started listening to your podcast and it's great and good to hear honest mum chat. I'm a mum to two boys, a 5-year-old and a 22-month-old. I breastfed my youngest till he was 18 months and it came to a natural end as he was teething badly and he didn't want to feed. I also co-sleep with him. So that, coupled up with lockdowns, it's been hard to keep up with friendships, and have recently lost a friendship as I struggle to be spontaneous and don't want to leave my sons unless it's a planned event. Friends don't understand the co-sleeping thing. I'm now only starting to get out on my own with friends, and son is nearly two. I was the first with my eldest, only when he started sleeping in his bed, I had more freedom. Am I wrong to want to stay in my family bubble and not meet up with friends? Thanks, Danielle. Oh my God, I feel like I could have written that. Honestly, I feel like do not feel pressure to get out of the family bubble or to do things when you're not ready, because I've spoken to so many people, some of whom are my friends who had babies before me, and they made it look so easy. Like they would just come out with me, and I think I was really annoying because I thought, oh, I love that you don't talk about your children. In hindsight, probably quite selfish that I never asked about their children, but now that I've spoken to them, when I was like, oh my God, you must have thought I was such a dick, and they were like, yeah, but the thing is that we were so desperate to feel like ourselves. They actually like force themselves to go out and force themselves to hang out with non-children friends to try and like cling on to that sense of normality. And I haven't done that, but I bear in mind, like I'm a pandemic mum, as I know a lot of you are as well. And like, I feel like it is really hard and it does take over your life. And I felt like I can't like see friends a lot. And to be fair, a lot of them have understood. I've got a couple of friends who don't have kids and they don't ask. And I do find that hard, but I remind myself that neither did I. And do you know what? I've learned, a really big lesson I've learned is that the people in your life don't have to be everything at all times to you. Like, you know, you can have friends that you love to meet up to have drinks with. You can have friends that you love to meet up with to talk about mum stuff. You can have friends that are really good listeners. You can have friends that you go to for like financial advice, like whatever it is. I feel like you don't need each person to be all of those things. And so even though like my couple of friends who never asked for Alf, I'm like, do you know what? I get it, because I didn't before I was a mum. And there will be a time in my life that we go back into the same path, whether that's when I kind of get my, I mean, I hate to say freedom, but my freedom back, and I start going out, and or whether that's if they ever have decided to have children. So I feel like, you know, it's not linear. Whereas I also have a friend who did not get it. Like I've been really shit, like admittedly shit with my friends this year, but it's because I simply haven't had time to do it all. Something had to give. And B, like, I feel like a lot of it I've just been trying to survive. Like, you know, especially with like going through like a 6 month period of being woken up every half an hour, like that is a form of torture. We just have to be kind to ourselves, and the friends that don't get it, like, do you know what, maybe they're not that like that good of friends. Like my friend who didn't get it, he had gone through like a really bad breakup, and for the last 2 years I've really been a lifeline for him. Like I would sit on the phone for hours, as I would for any of my friends, and talk it through with him. And for the few months that I just like have been a bit shit, and I admitted that I'd been a bit shit, he didn't get it. And do you know what? That's okay. Like something has to give. Like we can't be everything to everyone. And I know, like, I was working, I was trying to catch up on sleep, I was trying to get to grips with my life with Alf, and I didn't have time. And now I'm starting to feel like this year, right, I do really want to start to see friends more, but it's got to be the friends that make you feel good. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, all friends should make you feel good, but we just do, our time is so precious. Like everyone's time is precious, but once you've got kids, that kiddie free time, even, do you know what, like I used to love a long phone chat. Like I would spend a good hour on the phone to my friends every single day. Like my friends are my life. They are like the loves of my life, in the same way that Tommy is a love of my life. Like my friends are so important to me. But now to spend an hour on the phone a day, that is potentially the only hour I get to myself. Do you know what I mean? It's just different, isn't it? Like time is a lot more valuable. So really long-winded, Danielle, but basically I hope that you just know that you do what's right, and friends will understand. I feel like sometimes we worry they don't understand, so we almost don't communicate. But as long as you communicate, like, I miss you guys so much, or I would love to see you. And as for not understanding the co-sleeping thing, like the thing that irks me the most about like parenthood or motherhood is like people judging each other's choices, because there is a lot of judgment, isn't it? It's weird, because actually I've never ever ever experienced like sisterhood like I have since I became a mum. Like I wouldn't have got through a lot of the experiences I've been in without you guys, without all the like friendly advice and stuff on social media. But there's also a lot of judgment, and I think it is because we do what we think is right it's easy to get defensive, isn't it? I don't know, like, why is it? Maybe we're just sleep deprived. We are we do our own research and we know what worked with our babies, that we forget that other people have different circumstances, different babies, different everything. Like, I co-sleep, but I 100% don't think it's for everyone. And equally, like, I'm really proud that I breastfed, but as I've mentioned before, like, my sister, I think, did it for 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months, I'm not sure, but like, she did bloody amazing because she really struggled and was pumping loads. And I'll tell you what, now that I am pumping, hats off to anyone who is pumping, because it's another job, isn't it? Like, wow. Yeah. So that is a really long-winded way to say, do not feel guilty about who and what you give your time to, and don't feel like you have to prove yourself to anyone, because I definitely feel like I lost my identity. And do you know what? Maybe if I'd have made more of an effort with people, I wouldn't have felt like that. But I also feel like I did what felt right for me and for Alf. And that's all you can do. Like, the people that care will understand, and the other ones, well, pardon my French, but fuck him. So I'm just going to leave it there, because I genuinely just feel like I've talked to myself for God knows how long. So please let me know how you found this podcast episode. If you're like, Ashley, please God, bring another guest in. Do not do this on your own again. Or if you liked it, let me know, because maybe I can do it more. It's definitely a way for me to be able to talk more about like, what I'm up to and what's been going on with Alf. But yeah, just let me know. Thank you for listening to my lovely little podcast, Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. And like I mentioned earlier, hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. And if you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review, leave a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us, and it also helps me see the comments and see the feedback. And talking of spreading the news, tell someone else about the podcast today, especially if you know that they're thinking of giving up breastfeeding or going through biting or whatever it might be that I've talked about today that you think that they might benefit from. And I will be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week, and I'll have a brilliant guest back to the normal format. So yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.